Just to begin, I'd like to highlight a couple of exciting opportunities that are coming up this fall for parishioners to grow in their faith. First thing is on Friday, September 22nd, we're going to do a little day trip to the cathedral for seniors. We're saying, 55 and up. If you're 55 or 56 and you're like, I'm not a senior, well, that's okay. You can still come. But we're going to do a little day trip to the cathedral. We'll leave from here, take a coach bus down to the cathedral. I'll do mass. I'll do a little tour of the cathedral. We'll have lunch in downtown St. Paul and then come back here in the early afternoon. It's Friday, September 22nd for seniors. Then secondly, we have in October during MEA week, we have our annual Marian Shrine, Wisconsin Marian Shrine bus pilgrimage. We've done this twice before. This will be the third time we've done this. It's a great little trip. It's 3 days, two nights. We leave on Wednesday, that third week in October, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We first go down to La Crosse to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Then we head over to Holy Hill Basilica, which is right outside of Milwaukee. And then we head up to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, which is right outside of Green Bay. It's the site of the only approved Marian apparition in the United States. And it's so close to us. And then we're back by Friday evening. It's a great little three-day trip. And then lastly, the third final thing is just our annual silent retreat is the last weekend in October at King's House in Buffalo, a great little retreat center. Spots are still open for that last weekend in October, just to take some time to get away for a weekend and just be quiet and silent with Jesus. You can call the parish office to sign up for those, or you can sign up online under the Register for Events tab. I'd like to read a quote from Teddy Roosevelt. It's one of his most famous quotes. If you were sleeping in history class back in high school, Teddy Roosevelt was president of the United States the first decade of the 20th century. He once said this, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly. Far better is it to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checked by failure, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy nor suffer much, because they live in the gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat." In the gospel today, we hear one of the most well-known miracles of Jesus when he walks on water. It's one of those miracles that always fascinates the imagination. What would it have been like to watch someone walk on water? I've heard many, many, many homilies on this famous story. I myself have preached on this story many, many times. And oftentimes when I hear homilies on this passage, something I often hear is the focus on Peter and why Peter failed. Why did he start to sink as he began walking on the water towards Jesus? And you'll hear preachers say things like, oh, it's because Peter got distracted by the wind and the waves. He took his eyes off Jesus. And so for us, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus to not be distracted by the things of the world. And if we do that, then we can do impossible things. Or you hear preachers preach about the line of Jesus, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus' words to Peter. And a preacher encouraging us, no, we need to have faith in Jesus. And it's when we doubt Jesus that we begin to sink in life. And I'm sure I've preached homilies like that before on this passage, and that's all well and good, and there's definitely truth there. But in all honesty, those kind of homilies about this passage always kind of bothered me a little, this kind of critical look at Peter and why he sank. And this is why it bothered me, and still bothers me. You see, there were 12 guys in the boat. Peter was the only guy who got out of the boat. What were the other 11 doing? They were in the comfort of the boats. They were not courageous enough to walk out on the water to Jesus. They were comfortable, relaxed, afraid. Peter was the only one to get out of the boat. And so I think a question we all should meditate on this weekend is this question: how is Jesus calling me to step out of the boat in my life? One of my favorite quotes from Pope Benedict XVI is this. He said, "The world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness." Sometimes we can be tempted to think that our Christian lives is like just being in that boat, nice and comfortable. But when Jesus calls us to come out on the water, ooh, that's scary. That's hard. But you see, that's where the adventure lies, is out on the waters with Jesus. How is Jesus calling you to step out of the boat? For all of us, that's going to look different. It's going to be a different answer for all of us. For some of you, when you say, "God, how are you, Lord? How are you calling me to step out of the boat in my faith?" Maybe it's to come on one of these bus pilgrimages I mentioned at the beginning, or even come on a silent retreat. I bet that's stepping out of the boat for a lot of you. A whole weekend where I don't talk, I don't look at my phone. Do not be afraid to come out on the water in the silence with Jesus. You know, maybe some of you stepping out of your boat means coming back to confession. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been to confession. Don't be afraid. Maybe it's finally signing up for that weekly hour in the Adoration Chapel. Maybe it's stepping out of your boat by saying, "You know what? I'm going to start coming to daily Mass." Maybe it's just one or two daily Masses a week, but I'm going to start going to daily Mass. Maybe if you're a young person here, it's, "I'm going to get more involved in our youth programs." Maybe it's, "You know what, I got to cut out media in my life. I have too much TV, too much media. I need to spend more time each day in prayer, reading the scriptures." Maybe some of you stepping out of the boat is finally signing up for that Bible study. You've always wanted to do a Bible study, or maybe it's been a long time since you've done it, but I'm finally going to sign up for one. Maybe God's calling some of you to step out of your boat and to walk with people in faith as a D group leader with our young people, or maybe as a sponsor in RCIA. Maybe some of you are being called to be Father Park's personal chef. Oh, well, sorry, whoa. How did that get on there? Maybe some of you are being called to volunteer, right, in some new way with the Fall Festival, with volunteering at Sunday Masses, etc. Maybe God's calling you to step out of your boat by increase your almsgiving to the church, to the poor, to those in need. Maybe God is even calling you to do something really scary for a lot of us. That's probably even scarier than trying to walk on water. And that's to share my faith with somebody. Maybe there's a family member or a friend or a classmate or a neighbor where God's been putting on your heart. You really need to talk to that person about your faith. Ah, that's scary. Something I've done before when God's put it on my heart that, you know what, you need to try to have a conversation with a particular person about faith. I like to be just very upfront. I've sometimes sent text messages or emails to someone saying, "I would love to talk to you about faith. If you're ever open to it, please let me know. I'd love to hear about your story. How are things going? I like to share some things for myself. If you'd be open to that conversation, let me know. If not, no worries." Just like straight up, "This is what I'd like to talk about." And not threatening. If not your thing, okay, we'll try again in a couple months or a year or something. How is God calling me to step out of the boat? Again, it's very easy to criticize Peter. He took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink. But remember, in these great words of Teddy Roosevelt, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles. Did Peter sink? Yes, he did. But he also walked on water. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. Far better is it to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checked by failure, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy nor suffer much, because they live in the great twilight that knows not victory nor defeat. The boat is so boring. Don't be afraid to step out of the boat in your faith, because that's where Jesus is, out on the waters. That, my friends, is where the adventure lies.